Thank you, Elder Daniel. We're going to do the memory verse. A couple of weeks ago, we heard the testimony of Danny Park in which, I was so convicted by the Holy Spirit as to the importance of memorizing scriptures. So on that note, parents, memorize the weekly verse with your children. You do it, and you say, follow mommy and daddy as we follow the Lord Jesus. House church leaders, memorize the verses yourselves. And in your house church, whenever you meet together, challenge your participants. Follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So, let's do it. Last week's memory verse is from John chapter 8. This was memorized, this was explained, taught in the context of Jesus Christ casting out unclean spirits, Jesus Christ making us clean, and when the Son, that's Jesus Christ, he sets you free from the uncleanness, you are free indeed. So let's try this. What's the first word? Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family. Good. But a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. All right. Very good. Very good. Surprisingly, you guys do that really well this week. Oftentimes, it's you guys, but never the people up above. All right, ready? John chapter 8, verses 34, 36. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. John chapter 8, verses 34 and 36. This week's memory verse is Isaiah 40. Again, you heard it in the call to worship. You heard it in the songs that we sang. You even heard it from Elder Daniel's prayer, waiting upon the Lord. God is late, so we wait upon the Lord. Let's say it together. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Children, go to the kids' house and little house and baby house and have a wonderful time. When my family was back in Michigan, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, made it very clear that God was sending us out of Michigan. He was sending us to Edmonton. This is back in 2007. And his purpose for us is to start, plant this new church, Mosaic House. We didn't know the name at the time. We knew nothing about Edmonton. But in obedience, we left everything, came to Edmonton. And we needed a house. So we called this realtor. Her name was Donna. Hey, Donna, I need you to find us a home for the following needs. Okay? A home for my family, office for me, and the venue for the new church. Okay? Three functions. Home for the family, office for me, and venue for the church. Okay? And guess what Donna asked me? What is your budget? Okay? What are we talking about? So you want me to go shop for you, find a house for you? Well, what's the budget? Okay? Now, this is back in 2007. In Michigan at the time, the housing market was freezing cold. If the winters here were cold, you have no idea how cold the housing market was back then. Let me give you perspective. The house that we sold, which we owned for 10 years, we sold it for $150,000, or $149,000. Okay? And then we moved to Edmonton, 2007, the oil boom. You know how hot the housing market was here? Hotter than hell. Not that I've been there. Just to give you perspective, the economy was just booming. Everyone was coming here. I saw a marquee sign in front of a 7-Eleven store, signing bonus, $1,000. So Donna said, "What is your budget? I'm going to find a house for you. Johanna, Joshua, bring me your piggy banks. All the savings, all everything. We just, okay, Donna, I think we have about $300,000. That's the boundary. Okay? So she went to work. She showed us a house every week, more than one. Guess how many homes that we looked at with Donna? Okay? How many? Take a number. Eight? Nope. What? 17? Nope. 30? Nope. 30. Nope. 100? Nope. Getting closer. 120. Donna almost died. Okay. I think she holds the record, literally, for the number of houses that she showed to one client, 120. Now, here was the problem as to the reason for 120 homes showing. We started with the budget, $300,000. What? Yeah, $300,000. We need a house for my family, office for me, and the venue for the new church. She couldn't find the right house. Every home that we looked at, no, 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 too small, no, no office, nope, And I began feeling, "Lord, why are you late? You told us to come. You said you will provide. Are we not being obedient? Are we not being faithful to you? Why are you delaying? We need a house." He was late. A month passed. 6 months had passed. 12 months had passed. And I remember feeling that night, I had to go for a walk at night. And I remember saying, "God, what are you doing? Why are you so late?" Can you relate? Not that you've looked at 120 homes. You can relate to the fact that God is late. He's delaying. And in the meantime, he's saying, "Why are you waiting? Hurry, hurry." Huh? You may have this situation at work setting, and it's just driving you crazy. It's a personnel issue. It's the structure, organizational issue, and you're losing sleep over this, and you are losing hair, and you're losing weight, and you pray, "Lord, I've been praying. I've been waiting. Why the delay?" Some of you are saying, I want to find the Mr. Right. I want to find Mrs. Right." And you wait and you pray and you pray, and God feels so late. You fill in the blanks. God is late. What are you waiting for? We are in this series called Jesus on the Move. We are going through the book of Mark. And today's topic, title, is "Why is God," say the word, "late?" May I suggest that you follow along using the sermon notes in front of you, scan the QR code, You know what to do. And I think there will be some questions today regarding the message. So please wait until the completion of the sermon. Then you may submit your questions to the number up on the screen. We're in chapter 5 of Mark. Here's the context. Christ crossed the lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. Okay? And as he crossed in this tiny little boat, there was a hurricane, and he said, shh, landed on the other side of the lake, and he cast out a legion of demons. This man was set free, and then here, he's going to get on the boat again. He's going to cross the lake. He's just going back and forth. The Sea of Galilee was his ground. This is where he focused in terms of preaching, teaching, performing miracles, telling everyone, showing to everyone, showing evidence that he is the Son of God. Verse 21, fifth chapter, picture it. As you hear the words, description, put yourself in the story, hear the sound, see the sights, hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd, we're not talking hundreds, we're talking thousands, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell, literal word is he collapsed at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him. He was begging Jesus, my little daughter is dying, not sick. She's at a point of death. She has hours, maybe minutes. My little daughter is dying. Please come. Put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Urgent. So Jesus went with him. Picture it. Large crowd, thousands of people, it's an entourage following Jesus and Jairus. They're walking, and picture it. They got the siren going, the police car, the fire truck, all going. It's an emergency. Got it? Okay? Urgent. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. How many years? That number is significant. We'll come back to that. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you? His disciples answered. And yet, you can ask, who touched me? Everyone's touching you. What do you mean, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around. Okay, picture it. He stopped the crowd. He turned off the sirens. The police car stopped. The ambulance stopped. He's just such a rabbi thing to do. He just stands and he just waits. Who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, Don't be afraid. Just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand, very important. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 11 years old. Very good. Very good. You guys were quiet today. How old was she? Important. We'll come back to that. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, I plead with you, would you open our eyes that we may see the glory of Jesus in this text. Oh, Holy Spirit, I beseech you that you would open our ears, that we may hear the very voice of the Son of God. Oh, Holy Spirit, we pray that you open our hearts, that we may conceive Jesus in our hearts. To the glory of the Father, we pray. Amen. As you know, maybe not, so that I'm going to say it for your sake. There are four parts in every sermon, just about every sermon that I preach. There's a trouble in the world. God is late. And that's because there's a trouble in the world. God delays. And then we get to the grace in the world. It's about the person and the works of Jesus Christ. Gift, grace in the world, and therefore we end with the last part, which is grace in the world. How do we appropriate and apply the grace of Christ in our lives? So here's the second trouble in the world, which is this. Why is Jesus late healing the woman and the girl? How many years was she sick? 12. Okay, now, remember, we learned about this last week, about this ceremonial law from the book of Leviticus, right? So God said, these are clean things, unclean spirit, clean food, unclean things. So like when you do not eat pork because pigs were defined as unclean animals. Don't touch a dead person, because if you touch a dead person, you become ceremonially defiled, unclean. Do not touch blood. So if a woman is bleeding, she is declared unclean until she stops bleeding, and there's a waiting time period, and after which the priest has to declare she is clean. So she's been bleeding for 12 years, my friends. I need to just what that meant for her. So socially, she's in isolation. She can't touch anyone. Relationally, she's in isolation. She can't go to communities. She couldn't go to the synagogue or the temple to worship the Lord for 12 years. For 12 years, she was in isolation spiritually, could not worship the Lord with the people of God. Do you remember COVID? When you had the virus, you were in isolation. What did that feel like? your wife brings your lunch, puts it on the floor, and she dashes out, and then you open the door, and you take the lunch in, and you ate all by yourself. Imagine doing that for 12 years, living in isolation. That's what she felt like. And she was praying, Lord, heal me. Stop the bleeding. She went to one doctor, that doctor, she went to 120 doctors, and she lost all her money. She became poor, destitute, sick, isolated, and poor. Can you feel for her? Can you be sympathetic toward this woman? Yes, of course. But here's Jesus. It's been 12 years. 12. What about Jairus? One commentary just captures it beautifully. This is a case in which Jesus is going to Jairus' home to intervene a girl who's about to die. She's not just sick. She is about to die. Maybe she has 2 hours to live. So the word there is eschaton, the last thing. She is breathing her very last. Urgent, acute, go, 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 let's go, let's go. And then all of a sudden, Jesus stops, looks around. Who touched me? Who cares? Let's go, hurry, hurry, what are you waiting for? And he just stands and, you know, talks to this woman. Now, we know that she is sick, we feel for her, but that's a chronic sickness. It's not an acute. Her life is not in danger. I mean, can you imagine? How many of you are nurses or doctors? Come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Any nurses? Any nurses? Hey, look, look. When you go to the emergency, what do? I'm sick. I have this thing. And the triage nurse would dictate who goes first. You follow? Okay. And you can't think why the great physician, Jesus Christ, the Lord himself, he would stop healing this life-threatening situation. That's emergency. Instead, he's taking care of this chronic. She could have waited 2 more hours. Can you imagine? What was Jairus feeling as a parent? Every parent, you know, Lord Jesus, what are you doing? Hurry, hurry. Why are you delaying? Why are you so late? Let's go, let's go, let's go. Man, I feel for Jairus. I do. I do. Jesus is late. God is always late, isn't he? He's always late. Let's move on. Let's get to the grace in the word, okay? Grace in the word. Here's the theme. Write this. God is always late, but he's right on time. Let's say it. God is always late, but he's right on time. All right, okay? And let's get to verse 23. No. Here. I got to explain this. It's not that God is always late. Next slide. God is right on time. He only appears to be late because of your own timetable. God is not late. He feels late. God is not delaying, but it appears he's delaying because we're seeing it from our perspective, right? We have our timetable. We got our agendas. This is what I need. This is when it should happen. It's not happening. Therefore, God is always late. Okay? I graduated. I got job. And I got to do this. But it's not happening. And God is late. He only appears to be late. Okay? Now, before we move on. No, let's move on. grace in the world, Jesus delays so that you may receive more than what you needed. So the question is, why does God delay? Why doesn't he come through when we need him to? Why doesn't he hurry and remove this obstacle, heal me, cure me, find me a job, find me a love, whatever we need? Why is he late? Jesus delays so that you may receive more than what you needed. What did Jairus need? He needed Jesus to come and heal his daughter. But at the end, because Jesus waited, delayed, he received more. What did he receive? With his own eyes, he witnessed the resurrection of his own daughter. Huh? Jesus, come and lay your hands on my daughter. Heal her. He did that, and he did more than that. Jairus encountered the resurrection of his own daughter. Now, here, look. Let's talk about healing. How many people did Jesus heal? A lot. Okay? Hey, what did Jesus do for you? Oh, he healed me. He opened my eyes. He cast out the demons. That's great. What did Jesus do for you? He resurrected me. Whoa, that's really impressive. What did the woman want? What did she need? Stop the bleeding. Okay. So she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, okay, I'll be cured. And that's what she did. There's a term called dine and dash. You know what that means? You go to a restaurant, you dine and you dash. What she was doing, she was doing touch and take off. Just touch. I don't want to talk to Jesus. All I want is, let me touch his coat. That's it. And dash. But she got more than what she needed. What did she get? Encountered the living God. Not only that, she felt loved by Jesus. He did not shoo her away. She engaged with her and she says, daughter, he called her daughter, your faith has healed you. And furthermore, many commentators talk about this. She had this immature understanding of faith. What she thought was touching Jesus, as in superstitious, as in miracle. If I just touch, okay? But rather, Jesus did not say, you are healed because you touched me. What did he say? Your faith has healed you. So Jesus gave her more than what she bargained for, which was her faith was enlarged. Her theology became correct because she encountered the living God, and it's not superstitious touching. It's the faith in the person of the Son of God. That is where the power of healing came from. So Jesus delays so that you may receive more than what you need. So here's a question for you. Whatever you are in need of today, right now, healing, promotion, resolution, relationship, whatever you need, okay, here's the question. What do you need more, the remedy for your challenges or God? Do you just need to be healed of the bleeding, healed of the fever, or do you really need to encounter the power, the love, the grace, the majesty of the living God? What do you need the more? on the note, something I've said in the past, I'll say it again today. So therefore, prayer is not getting things from God. Prayer is getting God. When you go to God in prayer, primarily, it's not, God, I need this, I need that. It's, God, I need you. That's it. Again, prayer is not getting things from God. Prayer is getting God. Because if you have God, then you have all that you need. The text doesn't explain, but let's use our imagination. So let's talk about the woman who was healed, and let's talk about Jairus, who witnessed the resurrection of his own daughter. How do you suppose they lived for the rest of their lives in regards to the Lord? Do you think they were convinced? Do you think they were confident? Do you think they said, oh, this is hard, but we have the Lord Jesus. If we have the Lord Jesus, we will be okay. They received more than what they needed, and that's why Jesus delayed. Number two, grace in the world. Jesus delays so that you may receive grace. Jesus delays so that you may receive grace. There's a contrast between the woman and Jairus. Okay? Jairus is a prominent synagogue ruler, a man respected, wealthy. Okay? The woman, here is the racial, gender, economical contrast. Okay? First, man and a woman. 2,000 years ago, men have a higher status. Okay? Thank God things have changed. He was influential, a synagogue ruler. She was nobody. He was prominent and most certainly, many scholars say, wealthy, rich. She was poor and destitute. And lastly, he was religious. He was in the service of synagogue, and she was isolated spiritually because of her bleeding. Okay, now. And yet, the Lord Jesus stopped for her. We would have said, Lord Jesus, hurry. This is important. And by the way, Jairus, he deserved this. He's educated. He served the Lord. He's a synagogue ruler. And he does all the right things. He needs your healing, and he is of deserving. The woman, the opposite. And that's why Jesus delays, so that you may receive grace. And that is to say, here's a quote by Tim Keller. Jesus is more attracted to the people who are the most messed up and who have messed up the most. God is somehow attracted to the people who are most messed up and who have messed up the most. And that's because these people are ready to receive grace. You see? People who are, you know, got it together. It's harder for them to receive grace, because when you receive grace, what you're saying is, Lord Jesus, I am unworthy. I don't deserve this. I haven't earned this. I have not merited this, but I receive your gift. Thank you so much. Those who have things to offer say, Lord Jesus, I've been obedient. I've been faithful. I've done all the things that you told me to do. Of course you're going to bless me. And that's why they can't receive grace. As one person put it, all you need is nothing. But most of us don't have nothing. We bring something to the table saying, no, I deserve it. Third. Well, let's, before moving on, what about you? Do you think you are most messed up? Do you think you have messed up the most? Don't ask that question out loud. But if you recognize it, acknowledge it, you are ready to receive grace. Number three. This is a tough one. You may never know why God delays. In this part of heaven, you may never know why God was late. But the question is, can you trust Him? This is tough, but let's be real. You may never know as to the why. You will know, ultimately, finally, but on this side of the equation, you may never know. Okay? But the question is, can you trust the Lord? Even when you don't understand. Especially when you don't comprehend. What are you doing, Lord? Why? Why the delay? Why the silence? But you will find out, ultimately. You know, when my wife was sick, she said, so this is 8 years of praying, 8 years of waiting, 8 years of being delayed. He said, Victor, I will be healed. I'm like, oh, great. The Lord spoke to my wife. She received a special revelation. The Lord is going to heal her. Yes. Okay, honey. What did the Lord say? Well, he didn't say anything, but I know I will be healed. The only question is, will I be healed here or there? I hate it when my wife humbles me. So I don't know why the delay. I will never know. But the question is, can I trust the Lord? So back to you. Whatever you think you need today, He won't give to you. Can you still trust Him? Can you say, Lord, you're good. Let me be more logical. The problem we have is we think we know better than the Lord. That's the problem. Why do you worry? Because things don't go the way you planned. The things don't go the way you had hoped. Things don't work out how they're supposed to, according to you. God may have a different idea. And the Lord says in His good book, as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than yours. Meaning, Victor, even if I try to explain it to you, you may not understand it because I am the Lord and you ain't. But can you trust me, my son? Can you still say you are good, you are powerful? What you have chosen for me is what's best for me. Can you say that? Last point. Here's how you can trust. Number four. Jesus gave up His own life to heal you. Okay? The woman was bleeding for 12 years there, therefore she was declared unclean. And she touched Jesus. That was a scandal. She knew that she would make Jesus unclean, therefore, ceremonially. Okay? And Jesus knew all this. When Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Listen, when God asks a question, He's not looking for information. Jesus knew that the woman touched Him. He just waiting so that she may confess, so that she may encounter the living God. And therefore, Jesus knew that He, in His humanity, He became unclean. But in His divinity, He remained unclean. Absolutely pure and clean ceremonially. So it is the touching of the holy which Christ allowed that she was healed. at the cost of the Lord Jesus in his humanity becoming clean, unclean. Rather, that's how she was healed. Now, second, Jairus, the daughter. So she's dead. How did Jesus resurrect her? Took her by the hand of a dead person. Whoa. Did Jesus have to do that? Hang on, wait. This is the same Jesus who hushed the hurricane? Same just by speaking, commanding, be quiet. This is the same Jesus who exorcised 2,000 demons just by saying, out. This is the same Jesus? Why did he have to touch the girl then? He didn't have to. All he could have said was, Talitha kum, little girl, my daughter, get up. Here's the answer. He wanted everyone to know that he became unclean by touching the corpse. It's the transfer of the defiled so that she may receive the holiness of God at the expense of Jesus Christ becoming defiled in his humanity. How many years?
12.
12 years of bleeding. How old was the girl? And then, you know, look, Mark goes out of his way to let you know that, right? And he said, oh, by the way, wink, wink, she was 12 years old. Okay? So that you may ask, okay, what's the deal with 12? In the biblical idea, 12 tribes referring to Israel, people of God. So what Mark is trying to hint you at is the people of God, and there will be you, God will delay, God will wait, so that you may receive more, that you may encounter the living God. Prayer is not getting things from God, prayer is getting God. And if you have God, you have everything that you need. Everything else is secondary. You are in the story. You are the people of God. You are the 12, all of us. Can I end with my house story? So what happened? After looking at 120 homes, what happened? A godly person said to me, Pastor V, I think you are doing this all wrong. You started with the budget and looking for the right house, and there is no right house with their money. And I said, yeah, you're right. She said, trust the Lord. He promised he'll provide. Just go find the right house for your family, for your office, and for church. So we said, you know, I hate it when people correct me because that's humbling. But she was right. So Donna, plan B, find the right house. Don't worry about the budget. Find the right house. Okay? So she does. We look at the house. A home for my family. Yeah, I can see that. There's an office for me, all for me, right there, next to the door. Oh, yeah, that could work. An open space home. So there's no walls between the kitchen and the living room and the bathroom. So it's all wide open. Yeah? So the church could gather, right? Okay, that's the house. How much is that, Donna? About $500,000. Yeah? Way over our budget. So it says here. God provided by sending a church who gave us interest-free $70,000. Interest-free. And then I went and preached at this church. This is before Mosaic House Church. So I was going preaching, and I shared this vision that God has given us. And then after the church, this young man came up and said, hey, nice talk, unbeliever. He said, nice talk. I want to give a contribution to the church. And he hands me a check. I said, Mark, I think you wrote one too many zero by mistake was a $10,000 check. Mark, is this the right figure? Yeah. The church is not organized, so I can't give you a tax receipt. Well, I don't care. Huh? What we need is a new house. There's no church yet. Can I use this money to buy the house? Oh, yeah, sure. So with $70,000 tax-free, interest-free loan and the $10,000, we were able to make the down payment. Got it? And that's the house in which we now live. That's the house where Mosaic House Church was launched. That's the house that we held 50 people in the living room. And that's the house that we still use for church ministry. Now, having encountered the living God, it's not just a house anymore, friends. For the rest of my life, I get to tell this story. For the rest of my life, I will never doubt, never, 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 ever doubt. If God is late, there's a reason. I may never understand why, but I can trust him. How about you? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, your Son, Jesus Christ, our God, is amazing. Thank you for giving us your grace, grace called Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, where would we be apart from you? We must admit it is exceedingly difficult, almost impossible for us to wait upon you. It's so hard, but there are reasons. And the biggest reason is for us to encounter you, period. Beyond the healing, beyond the house, beyond all that we need, what you desire the most is that we possess you. And we do, Lord. Thank you. And my dear friends, would you humble yourself, kneel before the Lord, and say to him, Lord Jesus, I need you more than anything else. I want you more than anything else. If I have you, I'm good. I'm good. Say that prayer in your heart. Say that prayer in your heart. Thank you, Lord, for this time of responding to your grace. You are amazing. Now, as we sing this song, receive all the glory. In the name of Christ, amen.